Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet. Go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for an episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Penland, coming to you live on August 1st, 2023. I am joined in the studio by Ben Gorwitz. Ben, glad to have you back, man.
Yeah, good to be back. Getting to talk Big Ten football today. A conference that'll look very different next year, but for this year, we still have no West Coasters.
Yep, this is our last year of the Big Ten looking like this. Ben and I don't really have much to talk about with the MLB trade deadline since our Braves didn't really do anything. But with that being said, time for us to get into it, Ben. Ben, we know how this Big Ten goes, man. It's mostly a two-team conference race. This year it's going to be three teams, as we're also going to have Penn State in the fold of things. But as we always like to start things out, guys, we like to start things out talking about with our conference champion. Ben, let's talk about the Michigan Wolverines here. Michigan is going to look a little different this season, as that they didn't lose like an insane amount of talent in the NFL. They got 7 back on both sides, but Harbaugh's going to be suspended for the first 7 games of the season.
Four
games of the season, as that they violated some things with recruiting. And then they have, this is where I got my 7 from. They bring back 7 starters on both sides of the ball. Also, Sharon Moore is going to be the offensive coordinator, as Gattis is no longer there. Ben, what do you think about the Wolverines' outlook for this upcoming season? The schedule, as always, you know, they scheduled some out-of-conference cupcakes.
Yep. And they get Ohio State at home this year. Obviously, that's big. They play Penn State on the road. Those are basically the two games that highlight on their schedule. I don't think talent-wise he may be the best, right? Because we don't know the talent level, talent potential of Drew Aller and Ohio State's Kyler McCord. But I would say the most consistent, best quarterback in the Big Ten for what we know right now. Best running back duo maybe in the country, but definitely in the Big Ten, in my opinion. Good receiving core, unbelievable offensive line, unbelievable defensive line, unbelievable defense. It's the best overall team in the Big Ten, without a doubt, coming into the season. I read somewhere that they have the 3rd most production returning on this team. I'm going to trust my source on that, even though they may only have 7 returning on both sides of the ball. This team is going to play bully ball to a lot of their teams on their schedule in the trenches this year, which makes life easier for J.J. McCarthy, makes Blake Corum, who's going to be coming off an injury, very happy. But Edwards is a stud right behind him. They have a freshman running back in this year, I think, who's going to get some time, and he's supposed to be really good. This is a program that, and we used to make fun of them for it. Not just we, everyone. They take baby steps and they're very vocal about what their goal is, right? So a
Yep.
couple of years ago, it was we want to beat Ohio State. That was literally their goal. It wasn't to make the playoff or win the championship, or it was beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten. They eventually did that. They've now done it 2 years in a row. You can check those off the list. And then it was, after it was beat Ohio State, it was win the Big Ten. Check. They did that. Then it was make the playoff. Check. Now they're saying it's beat Georgia. Well, that would presumably mean, winning it all, or
Yeah.
at least going to the playoff because they don't have him on the schedule. Harbaugh, listen, the four games he's missing, they are East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers. Congrats, Michigan. You're 4-0 without Harbaugh. I think this team has a lot of consistency coming back. I think they have a lot of depth. I think they have the best offensive line in the country. I think they have the best running back tandem in the country. They're going to be really good, and I expect them to finish first or second in this division. I guess we'll say that at a later date and compete for a Big Ten title and a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Ben, with a lot of the things you just said right there. You probably said it better than I could. Realistically, I think the number one thing is how's this offense going to look under Sean Moore? This Michigan team, I think, is going to ground and pound. That's apparently what he's done in the past is ground and pound. So I think Michigan's going to go back to their typical Michigan ground and pound offense. The wide receiver room doesn't move the needle for me, but I mean, they probably have the best 1-2 punch at running back in the nation. I think JJ McCarthy, he's a guy who played a highly competitive game his last outing against TCU. I think he's been there. He's done that. He's going to be ready for these big moments. This defense is going to be nasty. It's probably going to be the best defense in the conference, one of the best defenses in the nation. I'm sure their numbers will look great because they only play two real teams the entire season long. I mean, I think this is an 11-win team, in my opinion, Ben. I don't see any way that they don't win 11 games. And I don't think not having Harbaugh for four games is that big of a deal.
Nope. First game back for him is at Rutgers. So obviously tough environment with Matt Rhule coming in. I'm sure we'll get to Nebraska, but I mean the talent gap in that game is going to be insane.
Yeah, I mean, the talent gap in that game is going to be absolutely ridiculous. Wouldn't be shocked to see them beat the brakes off them in that game either. Let's keep things rolling, though, and let's talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State does play at Notre Dame week four. They start the season off at Indiana, which I don't think is going to be that bad of a game. So actually, the guy I work with, huge Ohio State fan, says he thinks it's going to be a tough game for them just because Indiana blitzes a lot, but they do play at Michigan and they take on Penn State. They bring back seven on both sides of the ball once again. On top of that, I think, Ben, the biggest thing that we're looking at this season going into the year for Ohio State is who's going to play quarterback. It looks like it's going to be Kyle
Yeah.
McCord. Heisman odds reflect that. Odds for him to be the starting quarterback reflect that. What are we going to get out of him? Look, I think there's going to be a defensive bump in year two of Jim Knowles. I'm forgetting the name of one of their defensive ends, but the other one I'm just going to call JTT because I'm not going to try to pronounce his name right now. This guy's a beast. We saw him do it all against Penn State. He's probably going to have a great season. I think this defense will be better, though. They gave up 8-plus yards per play. Against Michigan and Georgia, and they have the sixth best defense in the Big Ten. I think those quarterback questions will be a question because at the end of the day, they lost a lot on the offensive line. And I
Yeah.
mean, this was CJ Stroud was the second, third best quarterback in the nation last year. I mean, the guy was the second guy taken in the NFL draft. Placing him is easier said than done. Obviously, this is the I can't believe Ben, I went this long without naming the wide receiver room. Emeka Buka, Marvin Harrison Jr. Top three wide receiver duo in the nation. I mean, they have the weapons on the edge to make up for the lack of quarterback play. It's just going to be, is he going to have the time to get the ball out and throw it? They're stacked in the backfield. They probably have the most stacked skill positions in the league. Hartline has taken over the offensive play calling. It's time for him to put up or shut up. He wants to go out and get this head coaching job. They've given him the ability here by calling the plays. I still think this Ohio State team is a 10, 11 win team. What about you, Ben?
I mean, I definitely think they have some tough games, right? I think at Notre
Mm-hmm.
Dame is pretty tough. Purdue is a program that's given them trouble in a couple of years. They're at Purdue this year. Penn State is in the horseshoe. I couldn't think of what Ohio State calls their home stadium for a second. So they listen, they get Penn State at home, but they're at Notre Dame, they're at Purdue, at Wisconsin, and then at Michigan. I don't think those are the easiest games in the preseason when you're making predictions to say that this team should be the favorite to win this division. I think they could even finish third in the division, to be honest with you, even though that they get Penn State at home. All the answer. The only thing that needs to be answered, but and a lot of big programs have this, is quarterback consistency. What is Michigan going to get out of McCarthy? We know what we can get. Can he do it back to back years? Ohio State has a new quarterback. Georgia has a new quarterback. Alabama's going to have a new quarterback. We have some programs that we're going to need quarterback consistency answered. I'm not doubting what Ohio State will be able to do at the quarterback position. They have put a lot of names into the pros, and they've all been really good in college. So this kid's obviously really, really talented. I'm not doubting his ability yet. I just think he has a lot to prove. And I think with the wide receiver room he has, it makes it a little easier. But I don't view this team as the best team in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that, Ben. They got a lot to prove.
I also think Treveyon Henderson's being a little, I think he's almost fallen into like an underdog role this season. A lot of people talk about Michigan's running backs. A lot of people talk about Singletary from Penn State, who we're about to get into. Treveyon Henderson is a baller, and he had some injuries last year. He's going to he's back and healthy. I think he is a monster at running back that they have in Ohio State.
Yeah, Ben, let me ask you this too. Do you think that there's a possibility that we see Ryan Day get fired if they lose to Michigan once again? And the guy's technically 0-2 against Michigan because they skipped that one game during the COVID year. So he's technically never beaten his biggest rival. I mean, he hasn't won a playoff game. He hasn't even won a Big Ten title yet as the head coach there. Do you think that there's some question marks behind Ryan Day?
I don't think he'll be fired. No, I mean they're still contending every single year. They're one game away every single year. Michigan was patient with Harbaugh, and he eventually took them not to the promised land. They haven't won a title yet, but he took them over Ohio State, the hump there. Then he took them to the playoff and into the hump there. So I don't think Ryan Day will be fired, even if he loses to Michigan for a third year in a row. It won't be pretty. I think his name will be on the hot seat, but I don't think he'll be fired.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I personally think it'd be pretty hard to fire Ryan Day. I mean, especially if you look at what he's done with all the quarterbacks that he's had come in Ohio State, like Ryan Day, like even JT Barrett, a guy who could wasn't that great of a passer, but I mean he was still a good quarterback. He played his best football under Ryan Day. I think Ryan Day is too good of a coach to get fired out of Ohio State, but I definitely think if they don't make the final, like they still made the Final Four, and had a very competitive game against Georgia. I think if they miss the Final Four this year, then it's a little bit more time to start to talk hot seat. But Ben, let's be honest, being a college football head coach at one of these blue blood programs, easier said than done, man. I mean, if you look at Ryan Day, this guy loses one freaking game, both base. I mean, two games last year, one game the year before. And there's a possibility that if he loses one game this year and doesn't make it, that he's on the hot seat. I mean, how tough is that?
And to add on, I think recruiting is harder now.
Yeah, recruiting has definitely become way harder. Luckily, he has Hartline, who brings in all those receiving studs for him. That'll be interesting too to see what ends up happening with him. So there's actually a lot of storylines going on with this Ohio State team. It's gonna be interesting rather than Michigan, who feels like that Harbaugh's bought himself. I mean, I think Harbaugh's name's good at Michigan as long as he wants to be there at this point in time. Ben, another school. Basically, these are the three blue bloods of the Big Ten at this point. We got to talk about him, man. Penn State Nittany Lions. Drew Aller is receiving insane hype. I think he's top 10 in Heisman odds right now. He's looking pretty legit this season. Penn State's pretty hype about having him. Manny Diaz is coming back as the defensive coordinator. Penn State currently is bringing back, let me go to it here. Penn State currently has eight back on both sides of the ball. So they're looking pretty stacked both ways. They did lose Joey Porter Jr., though, to the NFL, but I don't think that's really too much for them to be worried about, as that this defensive side of the ball is going to be good like it always is. Scheduling wise, they do play against West Virginia week one, and then they go at Illinois in week three. Other than that, though, at Ohio State, Michigan at home, they pretty much play the dregs of the conference. I guess at Maryland, who'd be probably the next hardest team they could possibly even play in the conference at this point. How do you feel about Penn State coming this upcoming season?
I think they do have three tough road games. At Illinois, at Ohio State, at Maryland. Who knows? I mean, at Michigan State to end the year maybe won't be the easiest environment in the world. So maybe 3.5, I would say, tough road games. But I think the schedule doesn't help them out. But I would say that this is probably the most excited I've been for a Penn State team in some time. As you know, as if you've been listening for a while, I was not the biggest fan of Sean Clifford. Now, I don't think he was like a bad quarterback by any means, but he was so annoying to watch because Penn State had so much NFL talent around him on both sides of the balls. Not a five star in every position, NFL guy in every position, but they always played really well defensively around Sean Clifford. Put some guys in the NFL at the wide receiver position, the tight end position. So he just couldn't get them over the hump. I think James Franklin is a terrific coach. I really do. I am hoping Drew Aller is the guy because he's getting a lot of hype and it's exciting hype to get. He's a, you know, big, tall, pocket passing QB. And they're supposed to have a lot of hype around him, talent around him. Singleton, the running back, I would put him right behind the Michigan guys as the best running back in the conference. Their defense is going to be very good this year, Penn State, like it typically is. I just think the road games will be the difference between finishing second and third in this division, if not possibly winning it.
Hey, agreed with you on that one, Ben. Honestly, when I look at this Penn State team, I like a lot of things I see here. I think Manny Diaz is going to coach this defense up really well. I think Drew Aller is ready to take the reins. I think he attempted 74 passes last year, and zero of them were interception-worthy plays. This kid has a ton of hype around him, and I can see why. I just think defense wins when you play in the Big Ten, and Penn State is the third best defensive line in all of college football. Only Georgia and Clemson are ahead of them, so they have the best defensive line in this conference. I think they're going to be able to push teams around in the trenches and apply a ton of pressure. I think that's really going to help them. I actually think they're going to split with Michigan and Ohio State this season. I think every single team in the Big Ten loses a game this year. I don't see any of these teams going undefeated in conference play. I think the fact that they're going to get Michigan at home, I think they're going to smack them. I think they will lose at Ohio State. They actually haven't won at Ohio State since I believe it was like 2010, which was the year when Ohio State, I looked it up earlier, it was like 2010, but it was one of those years when Ohio State was going through all the turmoil and Luke Fickell was the head coach for that game. So it was a weird situation that they lost, but they actually haven't really won at Ohio State. I think it was since like 2007, which was obviously during the Joe Pye.
Barkley didn't win there.
Joe, he won at home against them. He didn't win at Ohio
Got
State,
it.
Though. Yeah. That's the thing. They beat Ohio State a couple times. It's just been
I just remember Barkley taking the opening kick of the game back against Ohio State, and I think it was at Ohio State. Took the opening kickoff back like 103 yards.
Yeah, that was an insane game. I remember that game because that was when I was a little new to betting, and they actually did cover for me +7, but they didn't win that game outright.
I do want to note, though, like if we think back on past Penn State quarterbacks, like this level of talent is way more than they've had.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Sean Clifford, Trace McSorley. Who was the guy before?
Can't even remember his name. Oh, I can't. Yeah, I can't. I cannot remember his name for the life of me.
I can't think of the guy's name right now. But this kid that they have now, just on paper, talent wise, is levels above Sean Clifford and McSorley.
Yeah,
it's
100%.
Just, can he execute? But he's got to go to a lot of tough road games, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I am absolutely on the same boat train with you there, Ben. I think this is the most talented quarterback room they've had, and we've seen them pump tons of talent out at all the other positions. Feels like now they finally have their quarterback. You know, it's almost like when Alabama and Georgia found their quarterback. This could be it for Penn State, and this could be what puts them over the edge. I know a lot of the pros are liking Penn State right now to make the Final Four, so it'll be interesting to see what we have going on there. Ben, we got to stay in the East in this conference because they still do have two different breakdowns in this conference. The rest of the team, they're kind of drebs, except for the Maryland Terrapins. Maryland's got 5 back on offense, 6 back on defense. Tulia Tagovailoa might actually be the second best quarterback in this conference at this point in time. Maryland brings in Josh Gattis to take over as OC. Ben, the way I see things going after this team is they have an extremely easy schedule to start the season off. I don't see how they don't start the season out going 5-0 and then getting mollywopped at Ohio State. They get to play Illinois at home. They get to play at Northwestern. That's actually huge that at Northwestern is one of their road games. I could see this team winning 8 or 9 games this season, just not beating any of the big opponents on their schedule.
Yeah.
But I think Talia is going to – I mean, Talia wanted to stay there, and apparently he had offers to go play at some of the top SEC schools. Like, they were offering him big money. Apparently Alabama might have offered him a decent little NIL package to come over there and play, but he chose to stay there. He thinks he's building something with head coach Mike Loxley. They really do play an easy schedule, and they have a great offense with skill-wise. Their offensive line is not going to be that great. That's why I think they'll struggle in those games. The defense isn't going to be good, but the thing is, in the Big Ten, a lot of these teams are built the opposite of them. They're built with defenses, and they don't have offenses. Maryland's going to have the offense. They're going to put up points.
So their defense should be pretty good as well.
You think?
Well, it's just, I mean, you and I talked a little bit about, like, if you return a lot, but the team may not be that good.
Yeah.
I mean, they return the most that Loxley's had since he's been the head coach there. So
true.
I think there's potential. Now, they weren't good, but, you know, another year in it. I think what you said is exactly right. Their schedule is, it's pretty easy. I think they beat almost everyone that they're supposed to beat. I mean, Illinois, I think, is a swing game for them. It's at home, but I think Illinois could don't really dominate the trenches of that game because, from what I've been researching and reading, defensive line and offensive line is about as weak as it can be at Maryland this year. So, listen, talk about a program changer without a doubt in this team. Locksley seems to be, let's see, he finished 31 in recruiting 2022, 36 in recruiting in 2023. And then after some transfers, he finished 27. So not recruiting that bad for being at Maryland. He's a DMV guy himself. He's put a couple guys in the NFL so far this season. So I think the schedule does him favors. I agree with you. I just don't think they beat anyone that they're not supposed to beat this year. So I think one, two, three guaranteed losses and two swing games, I would say. Illinois and at Nebraska, I'll give them a swing games.
Yeah, that's why I think 8-4 is pretty realistic for Terps. It should be a solid season. Ben, let's talk about the dregs of the conference right here. We have them all three in a row: Indiana, Rutgers, Michigan State. Any of these teams you think will have a decent season or are worthwhile?
Decent season, no, but I'm going to touch on Michigan State and you can touch on whoever you want. Talk about an interesting offseason. So obviously Mel Tucker got that massive deal. We talked about it all last season. And it's almost like is his feet getting warm. Now it's obviously not because his buyout is $76 million. So they're going to play this contract out, I think, for a little while and give him some time to try to rewrite this shit because I think it's ugly right now. Peyton Thorne, quarterback who's been there for a couple of years, starting, transferred. He's gone. He went to
Auburn.
Auburn, and he's not even going to be starting at Auburn, I don't think.
Really?
Well, I think it's between him and it's between. Actually, no, I do think he is in the lead for the job. It's
Okay.
him and the kid last year, Ashford. So he's at Auburn now. Best receiver. He went off in the spring game. SportsCenter started, getting all over him, giving all this highlight tape. Transferred. He's out. It was just a weird offseason for Michigan State overall. Don't think they're going to be very good again. I think they have a three-game stretch where they play Washington, Maryland, and at Iowa, and they're home for two of those games, and I think they can go 0-3. They don't have the talent that's going to match up against Washington. They don't have the offensive firepower to keep up with Maryland points now. Michigan State can typically play some defense, but then they go Michigan, Nebraska, I'm going to think is a swing game for all of these teams that are lower level, at Ohio State, then Penn State to finish up the year. I mean, this is going to be, I think, five, six lost teams. I was even looking, their over under was around 5.5. I've been looking at taking the under on that. I don't think I'm going to get to the window on it, but I don't think it's going to be a good year for Mel Tucker and East Lansing again.
Ben, I would agree with you, and all signs point towards that. But I feel like when Mel Tucker took over at Michigan State, they were in turmoil, and he was able to put this team into a bowl game. And I believe they won that bowl. Actually, shit, I can't even remember if they won that bowl game or not. But I feel like that Mel Tucker's not just going to roll over and die here. You know, like I feel like Mel Tucker
I
got the
just don't
big.
think the roster. I don't think the roster's there for him is the problem.
I do agree with you on that. I don't think the roster is there for him necessarily, but I don't think he's going to roll over and die. I'm like 50-50 on if they're going to go bowling or not. I think 6 wins though would be a good season for them. I don't think they're going to be that great. I don't really have anything to add on Indiana and Rutgers. I would be shocked to see either of these teams go bowling. I mean, Rutgers win totals at like 4.5, and I believe Indiana's is 4.5 as well. So I'm not going to add much on those teams, but I feel like that Mel
No.
Tucker, I don't think he's dead yet. You know, like I feel like we want to call this the worst contract in college football. It still might be the worst coaching contract in college football, but I feel like Mel Tucker doesn't have like a quitter attitude. You know, like I feel like Mel Tucker is going to come in here and coach the shit out of these kids and try to do something with it. Let's keep it rolling though, Ben. Let's go over here now to the Big Ten West. The Big Ten West is about the, let's put it this way. I tweeted out earlier that this broke my brain trying to decide who's going to win this side of the conference. Let's get in here and talk about them. Last year's champion from this side of the conference was the Purdue Boilermakers. Purdue's or is going to look completely different this season. They bring in a new coach as they bring over shit. Why I can't find or who's their head coach, Ben? Help me out here.
I gotta look it up, honestly.
No,
Oh, it's
I
the
got it.
defensive coordinator. It's
Ryan
Ryan Walters,
Walters.
I think.
Yep. Brian Walters, yes. Shoot, I didn't have it pulled up for whatever reason. They bring back six starters on the offensive side of the ball, five on the defensive side of the ball. They still have their nasty running back, Devin Mockabee. He's a beast. He's going to be back. But you lose Charlie Jones. You lose Aiden O'Connell. You lost a lot in the other spots, put it this way. On top of that, they're ranked as having the fifth hardest schedule in college football this season, according to Phil Steele. And also, too, Phil Steele's metrics based of what you lost and based off the teams like that you play and your schedule strength has him as his fifth team that has an 85% of having a worse record than they did the year before. I think things are going to be rough here for Purdue. On top of those things, Ben, Purdue's schedule doesn't do them really any favors either. Like we just said, they play Fresno State, who's never been a pushover, at Virginia Tech, which is tough, and Syracuse. So basically, you don't play a cupcake out of conference. You still have to go at Iowa. You have to play Ohio State, and you have to play at Michigan. Ben, can they even go bowling this year?
I think it'll be tough. I think the road games are tough. And then you don't even mention Illinois and Ohio State that they get at home. I got to mention it again, obviously, but I did say on the Ohio State side that we've gone through some years where Purdue has given them trouble. I don't think that's the case this year, but Ryan Walters brought in Graham Harrell to be to kind of control the offense for him. Yeah. So Graham Harrell, was he at? He was at Texas Tech, wasn't he? As like an analyst or something, or was Dude, no? He was at US. He was at USC.
Yeah, Graham Harrell's been he's been he around. Basically, let's put
was
that way.
He was. I think he was like replaced by Kingsbury essentially. Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty tough year one in West Lafayette, but Ryan Walters can coach some defense, and once he kind of gets his own players in here, I think they'll get I think they're going to be different. They're air raid a little on offense, which we've kind of seen from Purdue, and a little bit of nastiness is what Walters will kind of bring on defense. I just don't think it's going to click with the schedule in year one.
I agree with you completely on that one, Ben. Ben, let's talk about him real quick here. Obviously, the whole scandal and everything went down with Pat Fitzgerald. David Braun, defensive coordinator, will take over as the head coach. Apparently, a lot of the players said they were going to leave the program and transfer out if he wasn't named the interim head coach. Ben, can Purdue – I actually took Purdue under – I mean, Northwestern to go under 3 wins. Do you see any way that they go over that or even have a chance at anything?
They're going to be pretty bad.
Do they win a game in conference?
They have, like, the worst everything.
Exactly.
Do they win a game? Let's see. At Rutgers, no. Minnesota, probably not. Penn State, no. At Nebraska, I mean, that's a swing game for everyone. Who knows how Nebraska is going to be? Maryland, no. Iowa in Wrigley Field for Northwestern, by the way. That's a cool scenery. Yeah. Yeah, that's a loss. Wisconsin, Purdue. I mean, can they beat Purdue at home? Maybe. Second to last game of the year. Pat Fitzgerald, what he did, you just have to fire someone for like that in this day and age. But what he did at Northwestern, special. That guy is a great coach. Maybe his ways of coaching may not be great or his assistants, but damn good football coach what he did in Northwestern in his time.
Absolutely, Ben. You hit the nail on the head. Next team up, we'll talk about them first since they had a good season last year, the Illinois Fighting Illini. I think it's going to be a pretty down year for Illinois, Ben. I'll go ahead and take the reins here for us on this one. So Illinois' returning production isn't looking the greatest for them for this upcoming season. Illinois has six back on each side of the ball. You lose a lot of your offensive line, which was up for the Joe Moore Award, which goes to the best offensive line in college football. You also lose Chase Brown to the NFL, who is your records, the best running back in school history, actually. Luke Altmyer is transferred in to play quarterback from Ole Miss, as their quarterback is also on the way out. This team has an insanely hard schedule. On top of that,
I thought they got – is it Altmyer? I thought they got a different quarterback as well.
They might have got another transfer in last
– They I got was, that – I think they got the Syracuse kid, Tommy DeVito, which is
yeah. I thought DeVito was the one that left for the or that was gone. You might be right though; he might be there as well. But I don't really think they're even going to go bowling. So they were 4-1 last year.
Oh,
in
you're
close
right.
Games.
Tommy DeVito was last year.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah,
you're right. Altmyer's taking over this year.
Yeah, so they were 4-1 last year in close games, and they have the third best turnover margin in college football. I think those already speak to regression coming for them. They got to play at Kansas. We already talked about what that offense is going to be able to do for Kansas. Then after that, they play Penn State. I don't even think FAU is necessarily going to be a pushover, as now they have Tom Herman, the old Texas head coach, is going to be is the head coach at FAU. I mean, you got to go on the road at Purdue, at Maryland. Luckily, though, there is no Ohio State or Michigan on this schedule. Ben, can Illinois go bowling this season?
Yeah, I'm expecting them to go bowling this season.
Okay.
I think Luke Altmyer, I think he just wasn't going to get any opportunities at Ole Miss, right? They clearly didn't want him. They brought in half of America to be Ole Miss's fighting for the quarterback job. They four three three quarterbacks right now that could all start somewhere probably. So I like Altmyer kind of getting a chance. You know, I am a huge Brett Bielema fan. I think he's the man. I'm not worried about the offensive line. This guy knows how to coach offensive lines. He knows how to get physicality out of his team. This is where Ryan Walters came from. He was the defensive coordinator in Illinois prior. Let's see. They had the pass defense was number one in the country under Walters last season. Now they did lose some of those guys, but I think their defensive line is going to be better this year than last year to kind of help out that secondary. Yeah, they got swing games all over this schedule, and I think they're going to win a handful of them. I think at Kansas is a game that they could win. I think at Purdue, I think at Maryland, I think I'm putting Nebraska as a swing game on every schedule. I think they can win at Iowa. I think they match up similar playing styles. Like, this is a team that's going to look different week to week. I think it's hard to find consistency, but I absolutely think Illinois should be bowling this year.
Interesting. Me and Ben are both at different ends. I can't lie. I looked at taking Illinois under 6.5 wins, but it's -150. So I might shop around and try to find a better one. If not, Ben, let's talk about about Nebraska here real quick. Nebraska, obviously, Matt Rhule's in as head coach. Jeff Sims
Yeah.
transfers over here from Georgia Tech to play QB for them. This is basically a brand new look Nebraska team. I will say this: Matt Rhule in his first
Your
2 years when he was at,
boys over here too.
who's my boy?
Marcus Satterfield, don't you love that
No, I like Scott, his dad. Yeah, Marcus Satterfield, the
guy?
offensive coordinator. But so Rhule in his first year at Baylor and Temple, he went 3-21 combined. He's already said he's building something here. Ben, do you think Nebraska goes bowling this year?
Ooh. I think I need to answer that question after week two. They play at Minnesota and at Colorado. That week two game, I think, is very interesting to see which team. I mean, Colorado's the Nebraska of the Big Ten, of the Big 12, who are Pac-12. They're going to be in the Big 12. So can they go bowling? I think so. I think it would shock me a little bit, to be honest with you, with so much change and I think year one is tough, but I mean their schedule, they can do it because I think Rhule can coach in college. If they can win one out of the two of at Minnesota or at Colorado or both, if they can win at Michigan State, I think they could definitely go bowling because they get some games at home that I think are tough, but they can win. I'm gonna say, ooh, I'm gonna say they do go bowling.
Hey, I'll consider that as Nebraska partially being back for what that's worth. Ben, let's keep it rolling though here. Next up, we got to talk about Minnesota. Minnesota last year had a top 10 defense in college football, holding opponents to 13.8 points per game. This year, they have 7 back on offense, 6 back on defense. They lost a lot though on both sides of the ball. PJ Fleck's been doing a good job coaching this team up. What do you think about the Golden Gophers this upcoming season as they also play at North Carolina on their out-of-conference schedule? And they have to play Michigan and at Ohio State.
Yeah, I think it's a tough schedule. I believe their running back came back, though. Ibrahim,
I
isn't he
thought
back?
Ibrahim was, no, Ibrahim's out of eligibility.
Oh, I wish he was back. I love watching that guy run. I think Minnesota will be just a tad better than Nebraska, so I do think they go bowling. Also, a little bit of weird controversy about PJ Fleck that just came out that, like, I don't know, nothing happened. But it was weird. People were trying to like throw dirt on his name. I think the schedule is tough. I think at UNC, at Iowa is tough, at Ohio State's tough, and then you get Michigan and Wisconsin at home. I think that can be tough. Illinois is at home for them. So if they can squeeze out some of these tough home games, I think they could be around a 7-win season, but I think they are going to go bowling around 6 to 7 wins.
Yeah, I honestly don't think they're going to, Ben. I mean, this side's so tough because they lost so much on both sides of the ball. They do play the seventh hardest schedule, and Phil Steele has them as his second team going down based off of like what all that they played last year and this year. So it's gonna be tough for them. Shout out though to Kyler Ball. He's supposed to be the best player on their defense. I actually met him on a flight. He was sitting next to me on a flight, interesting enough. So talked to him a good bit. Great kid. I hope they do well. He's actually a preseason All-American for Minnesota, but I think it's gonna be a tough season for them. I think the schedule is gonna be extremely hard, and they're gonna have some growing pains considering everything they lost from last year's stacked up team. Giving up 13.8 points per game is not hard to repeat. Ben, we got two teams. Actually, we got two teams left on this side to talk about, which I think are the two that we got the most to say about. First team up here is going to be the Iowa Hawkeyes. Kirk Ferentz is back at, obviously, as head coach. His son is probably in his put up or shut up season at this point in time as offensive coordinator. As we've, I mean, me and Ben have talked too many times about how bad that this offense is. They bring back nine players on offense, including quarterback transfer Cade McNamara. They bring back seven on the defensive side of the ball. Either conference schedule or conference schedule. Obviously, they play Iowa State as they always do. They're going to be at Iowa State this year. They still have to play at Penn State, but they avoid both Ohio State and Michigan. Ben, what do you think about them?
I think the biggest difference between them and Wisconsin is the schedule. I would say Wisconsin's schedule is definitely easier this year. Wisconsin's got the offense. I think Wisconsin's a better overall team. But this is the very easy school to break down. Iowa is elite defense, elite special teams. They're looking to get average offense, and they're bringing in Cade McNamara, who is basically the definition of average what he was at Michigan. He didn't turn the ball over a ton. He was able to move the ball downfield, but he wasn't very consistent with it. I think the Hawkeyes win the Big Ten West. I think their defense is that good. I think they know who their identity is. I think they play to their strengths. And I think Wisconsin's going to be trying to figure out their identity, trying to be all season, making a lot more adjustments than Ferentz will. Ferentz knows his strengths. He plays to them. He knows what he can't do. He tries to stay away from them. He knows he can punt the football, play ball control and possession game. Even though Iowa has to go at Wisconsin, I think the Hawkeyes win the Big Ten West.
Ben, I'm actually 100% in agreement with you on this one. I think the Hawkeyes will win the Big Ten West as well. They're actually seventh as Phil Steele's surprise team and eighth in his going up team. So he agrees with us as well. But honestly, Ben, when I look at every single team in this conference, and we'll get to Wisconsin here in a second, when I look at every single team in this half, I have a question mark about every single team, except one thing I know I can consistently rely on is the Iowa defense showing up for me. I also think Cade McNamara has got to be an upgrade over the crap that they've been running out there at quarterback. So I agree with you completely on that one. Last one, Ben, before we pick our winners here quick. Let's talk about the Wisconsin Badgers. New year for them as they bring in Luke Fickell now as he's going to be their head coach. They do have 10 back on offense, 8 back on defense. They have nasty running back duo with Ches Malusi
Ooh.
and Breelan Allen. Also, they bring in Tanner Mordecai to play quarterback, transfer from SMU. And on top of all of those things, they play a relatively easy schedule where they bring in Phil Longo as they're going to try to spread things out and pass the ball a lot. They do have to play at Washington State, but other than that, their only hard in-conference game is versus Ohio State. They get Iowa at home. Ben, how do you feel about them this season? Why aren't you picking them to win the conference?
Great coach, easy schedule, upgrade at quarterback position, upgrade at offensive coordinator. What else I got written down? One of the best running back tandems in the entire college football. What could go wrong, right? College football is what could go wrong, people. College football, when you play Iowa in this game, it is not a matter of talent on the field. It's can you push through adversity? Because this Iowa defense very rarely lets someone run all over them. They're extremely physical. They get Iowa at Illinois and Ohio State back to back to back, and there is no bye game in between any of those games. Two of them are at home. I think it's not an easy, I think it's an easier schedule for Wisconsin, but I think that stretch right there of Iowa at Illinois and Ohio State is tough. Seems like they're the better team on paper. Defense in the Big Ten. Defense in the Big Ten will win.
I agree with you, Ben. I thought Wisconsin was pretty disappointing last year. I think Fickell's got his work cut out to do. I think next year will be more so the same year. I mean, I think them having a lot of production back on offense isn't a good thing because this is not a team that was built to spread it out and throw the rock around. So it's going to be interesting to watch them try to go.
Bortles was they were pretty successful, but still, I mean, it's a new system. It's just a new system, and Jim Leonard, who was the defensive coordinator, who I think a lot of people thought were going to be their head coach, is not there anymore, and he's like the general manager of Illinois football now, isn't he? I think he like got hired by Illinois to do something in the front office.
Yeah, now he is over there now. Ben, we're running out of time on here, so we got to do it quick, man. Who do you have winning conference player of the year?
Yeah, I'm going to go one of the Michigan running backs, so Blake Corum or Donovan Edwards, I think.
Okay, I'm going to go with Drew Aller. That might be a hint at what I'm picking up here next. Drew Aller, guys, he's going to win. I think he might even win Heisman possibly. So I'm going to go ahead and buy into the hype on Drew Aller here. Ben, who's winning the conference and why?
Michigan's going to beat Iowa, and that game won't be close. just too much talent on this Michigan team. Great coaching staff, consistency. I think they have everything.
Yeah, I think we've seen that one play out before. I could see that one playing out the same way. I'm actually going to go out on a limb here. Why not do it one time? I'm going to take Penn State to beat Iowa in another game that's not going to be close. Give me the Nittany Lions going to the Final Four this year.
This is a Nittany Lion podcast.
Yeah, we're a Nittany Lion podcast this year. We've already laid the groundwork for it. Unfortunately, guys, we're about to run out of time here. Ben, it's been a pleasure as always. We'll be back on here on Thursday. Thursday, we're going to be diving into the NFL. But as always, guys, we appreciate everyone who tuned in, and we'll talk to you all again soon.